same investigator that did the investigation on Ben told him after they got done with the interview, you know, off camera, you did the right thing. Don't let anyone Monday morning quarterback you. And then we go to trial, and that same investigator is one of their key witnesses against Ben.
Hey guys, check out the 2023 Street Cop Conference, April 23rd through the 28th, Gaylord Convention Center. It's going to be the event of the year. Keynote speakers include Rob O'Neill, the guy who killed Bin Laden, Kyle Carpenter, the youngest living Medal of Honor recipient, Navy SEAL Jason Redmond, Fox News host Tommy Lahren, Marine Corps Special Forces and Leadership Coach Cody Alford, Sheriff Wayne Ivey, Sheriff David Clark, and Sheriff Mark Lamb. It's going to be one hell of an event. And on top of that, we have all of our instructors and additional instructors from other companies going to be at the event, giving you everything they know for you to have a successful career and get the results you want to get in the field as a police officer. On top of attending the event, you'll get face-to-face time with every instructor attending the event, and all the keynote speakers will spend time with you. We got special events all week, giveaways, nightlife. It's going to be really, really worth your time, energy, and effort. I promise you, you will not regret it for a second. To register for the conference, check out streetcop.com, click conference, and everything you need will be there on the homepage. If you are looking for a room, just click book a room. The block has been sold out at the Gaylord Opryland Convention Center, but there are many hotels nearby within a walking distance of the event. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. We will see you there.
You trying to be a street cop?
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Training. My name is Dennis Bonino, and this is not rehearsed. I just go off the fucking cuff. Unbeknownst to a lot of people. It's funny, we had somebody here recently who was like, do you just go into these things without any research? And I go, well, I got an idea who I'm talking to, but I don't have like 900 questions lined up. I just write them down as you start talking, and that's how it goes. So today we have with us Keelan Darby. Keelan, tell us who you are, what brings you here today, and how you know about us.
So my name is Keelan Darby. I've been in law enforcement for 7 years in the state of Alabama. My husband is former Huntsville Police Officer William Ben Darby, and in April of 2018, he responded to an incident which ended up in an on-duty shooting, and he was eventually cleared by his department and then convicted in 2021. So I've been on a rampage to get people to hear about his case and raise support and get him home because he's been in prison for the last 19 months. But we just had a breakthrough. So the Court of Criminal Appeals ruled in our favor and overturned his conviction, citing that he should have been viewed as a police officer because we're trained differently than Joe Q Citizen. So we're very excited and very hopeful for the next steps that we have, but there's a lot to go into. So
that's just a brief. Is he home now?
No, he's not home yet. The reason I've been given that he's not home is because the Attorney General, which is Steve Marshall, has to give an opinion on the court's decision, and then they can move forward with his bond. But I still don't understand that because he's no longer a convicted felon. So he's being held in prison under no charge.
What does your attorney say about that?
They're working towards it. They said that this is just how it works, which I don't understand that. But they're working to get him out as soon as possible. They're going to see him tomorrow. So he's going to get an update of what's going on. And then we're supposed to meet with them, very soon. And then I have visitation on Sunday with him. So, I can't talk to him obviously in detail over the phone because everything's recorded. So, the once a month visitation that I do get with him, we go through stuff and what's going on and everything that I can't tell him over the phone, gets talked about during that time. So it makes a very quick 2 hours go by fast because there's never any dead time. It's just, this happened, this is going on, so forth and so on. So.
Have you talked to him since the ruling?
Yeah. So Friday morning is when I found out. I was at work. And I was actually in court when I got the phone call. So I called my lawyer back, and because I was up testifying at the time. So called him back, and he's like, hey, we won the appeal. And I broke, you know, just crying because it's been a very long 19 months. And I can't call Ben. So I waited, and Ben called me about 10 or 15 minutes later. He called me, and he knew, because when the phone's finally connected, he's like, "Well, hello." And I said, "Hey, babe, we won our appeal." And I just started crying again. And we've talked about it several times. Obviously not as much in detail as I would like to, but he's very excited. We're very excited. We realize that we're not out of the woods yet, and that there's still many steps that we have to go through, but this is huge. This is a huge step in his case. And then also for law enforcement in the state of Alabama, as well as nationwide, because the courts have ruled and made precedent that you have to view a police officer through the objective reasonableness standard, which he was not during his trial. So we're excited.
I am very happy for you guys. And the first thing I just want to acknowledge up front is, man, it must have been hard, but what a wonderful wife you have been. I'm sure that he appreciates you standing by his side through this whole thing. Where some people might have broken, you have, you know, hung in there and fought for him. And that's amazing. So I just want to acknowledge that for you right now.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been tough. But I've got a lot of fight in me. And, you know, I told him I'm in this until the end, and we're going to get through it. And he told me the same when they took him away at sentencing. He said, "We're going to get through this. It's going to be okay." And it hasn't been easy, but it's been okay. So
what do you think he holds on to while being in prison as a police officer, and what gives him hope?
So we have a very strong faith. The both of us hold on to that very, very closely. And then secondly, just the support from our family and friends, and then all these other people that we don't know. We've had multiple organizations come behind us, namely the Pipe Hitter Foundation, the Blue Justice Project, the state of Alabama's FOP, the national FOP has supported Ben by writing an amicus brief for his appeal. Mike Glover from Fieldcraft Survival, who you've had recently, we met him back in 2018, right after the incident. And long story short, I'm from Arizona, where Mike was located is my hometown. We went to go and see if he was there. We met him, talked for 3 hours, told him about, he's like, "What do you guys do?" And like, "Oh, we're cops." And that just went into, you know, how does that work out? And Ben's incident came up, and Mike was like, "Well, you're going to get cleared. It's, you know, it's all going to work out. Call me when you get cleared, and I want to have you on my show." And we're like, "Okay, yeah, you know, we're just, you know, at the time, we're two kids from Alabama, and Mike is a social media guy. You know, he's got a good background." And we went to trial, ended up going to trial, and then sentencing, and they sentenced Ben to 25 years. And I contacted Mike that night, and he got back to me within a few hours and started getting the ball rolling on support and just making contacts with people for us. And he's been a very strong support for us. There's so many things that if we didn't have that conversation with him, I don't think we would have what we have today. So we're just very thankful for the support from all these different individuals and entities that realize what's going on and see it for what it is and how it was wrong and how Ben should never been convicted in the first place. He should have never been arrested. He should have never been charged.
So how does a jury convict a police officer when there's a justified shooting in place? How did that happen? What was the judge's reaction at the sentencing? Was the judge like, "I'm sorry, I think this is bullshit too, but yeah, I got to give you..."
No. So to go, I guess, quick recap, Ben was on duty April 2018 and responded as an assisting officer to a suicidal subject who had called police and said, "My front door's open. I'm about to blow my brains out. The front door's open." And so two officers had responded, and on the way there, they had asked for additional help. Ben went because he was not tied up on anything. And due to our training as police officers in Alabama and nationwide, when you're dealing with someone with a gun and there's no other person who's at harm, which at that time they didn't know that, you don't go in the house, you don't go in the structure, you call them out, you set up a perimeter, and you find a way to get them outside. And Ben had answered a few calls like this going into this call. So that was his mindset. He gets there and sees that both of the officers are nowhere outside. One of them is in the house, and then the other guy is in the fatal funnel of the doorway. Ben gets up there, sees that the female officer is 20 feet away from the individual who had a gun to his head, and she had no cover or concealment between her, and her gun was down, pointed at the ground, and she's just talking to him like it's a normal day. Ben tells her to point her gun at him and that he can shoot her. She raises her gun up at the suspect, and then you can see on her body camera, she shifts off of the subject, looks at Ben and says, he's not going to shoot us, and then puts her gun down. This whole time, Ben sees that she's not doing what she needs to do. She's not taking control of the situation. He steps inside, raises his shotgun on Mr. Parker and tells him to drop the gun, which he was told seven commands to drop the gun. The first time that Ben told him to drop the gun, Parker said, no, I'm not going to do it. The second time Ben told him to drop the gun, Parker moved the gun towards them, and Ben took that as a threat against his life and their lives, since there was nothing between them, and he mitigated that threat. Ben went through an investigation through within the department and was cleared completely. The other two officers went through the same investigation and were sent back to remedial training for lack of threat assessment, and they were also disciplined. That was all in 2018. May of 2018, there's word that the district attorney wants to indict Ben for murder. And he even told the chief at the time, if you fire him, we won't press charges. And the chief said, no, he didn't do anything wrong. He followed the law. He followed his training. He followed policy. We're not doing that. So the district attorney gets a grand jury indictment that August, and Ben was charged with murder. He was formally arrested. We had to bond him out. The city continued to keep him on payroll on admin duty, and he got a paycheck all the way up until he resigned right before sentencing.
What did the chief say? Like, did the chief have his back the entire time?
Yeah, the chief had his back the entire time. The city council and the mayor had his back, including they paid for the legal fees. Our original trial, they paid for all that, and that was over $125,000.
And what was the motive of the district attorney? Just anti-cop, like liberal lunatic?
So from what I've been told, and no one has given me a clear answer on this, but from what I've been able to gather, the district attorney and the chief don't get along. And they used Ben as a political pawn. At the time, wow, he was only on the job for 18 months and no one knew who he was. There was other officer-involved shootings with senior guys that were justified, just like Ben's was justified, but he didn't go after them. The district attorney sat in on Ben's incident review board and didn't object to him being cleared. And then he turns around and charges him with murder. So you can't tell me that it's personal between the department and the DA, because if you agreed with him in the incident review board and said he was good to go, then why are you bringing charges?
That's insane that they'll fuck with people's lives like this.
Yeah, the same investigator that did the investigation on Ben told him after they got done with the interview, you know, off camera, you did the right thing. Don't let anyone Monday morning quarterback you. And then we go to trial, and that same investigator is one of their key witnesses against Ben.
Wow.
Stating that he did everything wrong. He should have never been a cop. The district attorney and the prosecutors said he was a disgrace to the badge. He should have never been, you know, given the opportunity to be a police officer. They compared him to Derek Chauvin, which the only similarity between the two of them is they're both white male cops. Those are the only two, similarities. Because that's a whole other issue. During his trial, so let me back up. That was all 2018. 2019, we had a qualified immunity hearing. It was a day long. It was basically, you know, miniature court. And the judge ruled no qualified immunity, and she didn't give an opinion or decision as to why. She just said no. So COVID hits in 2020, so everything shuts down. And then January of 2021, we find out we are going to have trial that year. And then later that month, the prosecutors went to our lawyers and offered Ben the deal of aggravated manslaughter, no prison time, 5 years probation. So we went from just fire him and we won't press charges to take this deal, no prison time, 5 years probation. Ben didn't take it because he knew he wasn't guilty of murder. He didn't do anything wrong. He followed his training. And then the same for manslaughter. It's not. Manslaughter in Alabama is reckless, and that what he did wasn't reckless. And he said, no, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not taking a deal. So we go to trial May 3rd, that week of 2021. It's closed to the public. So there's a Sixth Amendment right. His constitutional right was violated to a public trial. I wasn't allowed to go to trial with him. I had to sit in a separate room and watch it through a Zoom feed. That Zoom feed was turned off by the judge multiple times when witnesses were on the stand. One of the guy's neighbors, the guy's name is Parker. Parker's neighbor got up on the stand to testify of several conversations that he and Parker had had about Parker's thought on law enforcement and how Parker hated police and had a plan to lure them into his house and kill one. The neighbor got on the stand to try and testify to that. And the prosecution was like, objection, objection, that's hearsay. He can't say that. Well, it's not hearsay because it's direct testimony or direct witness testimony. So of course the judge took the prosecution's side and the TV got turned off. And then 10 minutes went by and the TV got turned back on again. And that neighbor was no longer on the stand. At lunch break, I saw Ben and I was like, what the heck happened? You know? And he said, well, they kicked the jury out of the room and they allowed the neighbor to speak to the court record of what happened, but the jury wasn't allowed to hear it.
Wow.
So you're going to let the court reporter take it down, but the 12 people who are going to make the decision as to whether or not he's guilty of murder isn't allowed to hear the testimony. So keep going through the trial. His training wasn't allowed to be presented. Again, he wasn't viewed as a police officer. He was viewed as a normal citizen who's not trained the way that we are. Mm-hmm. They weren't allowed to know that he was cleared by Huntsville Police Department.
Wow.
The jury wasn't allowed to know that. His training instructor from the police academy was involved in an on-duty shooting. And he taught action versus reaction to his academy and several other classes and how you can't wait, you know, if there's a threat there and they're not listening to you, you know, in Jason's situation, he was in a standoff with a guy who had two long guns pointed at the ground. Jason had his AR on the guy's chest waiting for shoulder movement. The bad guy was able to flick his wrist and get a shot of birdshot off before Jason could process that, and Jason got shot in the face. Thankfully, it was birdshot and he survived that, but he used that encounter to teach Ben's academy and several academies after that action versus reaction. You know, you tell me, Dennis, when I'm going to shoot you. It's that quick. And people don't understand that if they're not trained the way that we're trained. So Jason's testimony wasn't allowed to be heard to the jury. Graham versus Connor wasn't allowed to be instructed to the jury.
Wow.
Several case laws. Montute versus Carr, Tennessee v. Garner, Penley versus Essinger, several others. The jury wasn't allowed to hear those and why those case law back what Ben did. So all that to go into it, we get to Friday and the jury comes back and Ben said that he knew they were going to convict him before it was even read because two of the female jurors were crying and they wouldn't look at him. And then one of the male jurors was raking his face and wouldn't make eye contact. If you're going to send someone to prison for murder, I'm not going to cry about it. You know, if they truly deserve to be there, if they truly deserve to be charged and convicted, I wouldn't be sad about that. And I don't know if that's just me being harsh or insensitive, but they stripped him, you know, they gave him a 25-year sentence. So, which in Alabama, the minimum is 20 years. So we go to sentencing and there was about 3.5 months between his conviction and sentencing. We had over 72 people write character witness letters to the judge asking for leniency. And then myself and four other people, including one of his supervisors, went before the judge pleading for leniency for his sentence. And the prosecution gets up there and says, "Hey, judge, I know it's a minimum of 20 years, but we request at least 25, and we're on the board for more if you are."
Wow.
And everything that we objected to during the trial, the judge went against us. Every time the prosecution objected, she granted it. We were just hamstrung. Everything we tried to do to get it right, the judge wouldn't allow.
I've experienced this recently myself, just so you know. I have experienced this myself recently. It's flabbergasting, unbelievable, unreal. And it just is a stark reminder that the impartialness of what's supposed to be implemented in the law, it doesn't exist. It's complete bullshit. And you've got to go off the thoughts and opinions of the judge's personal beliefs instead of the actual interpretation of the law. Crazy.
Right.
It's fucking wild.
So Ben gets sentenced to 25 years, and that was August 20th, 2021. So I got to give him a hug and kiss him, and he said, "This isn't over. I'll see you soon." And I didn't see him for 9 months because of COVID. I wasn't allowed to go to the prison to see him. Since May of 2022, I've seen him once a month. And you know, I'll see him Sunday, and hopefully that's the last time I'll ever have to go back there. So we filed.
What's that like to go through that?
It sucks because I'm a police officer. So, and I don't flaunt that when I go in there. I just try to make any waves. I just want to get in there, get through the process. But it's a joke because I go in there and basically I don't get a full strip search, but I do get a very in-depth search, where my father-in-law goes in there and he literally gets patted down, like, and that's it. Where I have to go into a separate room, strip down, and do a bunch of things. And then my father-in-law or any other male person who's going for visitation that day literally just gets three pats down their side and they can go through. It's a joke.
Why is that? Why do they do that?
The only thing I can think of is because it's an all-male prison. So if contraband or something's going to be brought in, it's going to be brought in through a female because I'm going to get closer to him than his dad.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's enough reason to make you endure essentially a strip search to go see your husband. I'd be interested to see how a court would feel about that, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with it, but I have to do it to go see him. So I put up with it, you know. And it's not just me.
Probably everybody feels. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it's every female that comes in because it's about 5 to 7 families every time when we have visitation that come through, and every female has to go through the search that I have to go through. Again, I don't like it, but if it allows me to physically see my husband, then yeah, I'll go through it. It just that's part of it, unfortunately. But
do they know that you're a police officer too?
Some of them do. This Pat, 2 months ago when I went in, one of the guards addressed me by name and asked how I was doing. And I thought it was a little weird. And I caught his name. And when I saw Ben, I said, "Who is this guy?" And he said, "Oh, it's so-and-so." And I said, "Well, is he good or bad, you know?" And he said, "No, he supports me." And he said, "Why? What happened?" And I said, he singled me out and said hello to me in front of everyone. And I mean, that's fine. It was just weird because that's over the last year and a half that I've gone up there, that's never happened, you know? But it's more, they know that we know it's a privilege to go up there. It's not something that we get to do. I mean, they can cancel it at any moment. In October, they canceled it 2 days before visitation. And they finally let us go back the following week, but it can get canceled at a drop of a hat. There's no, and it doesn't matter if If it's because they don't have enough people or they just don't feel like it that day, if they want to cancel visitation, it gets canceled. And then wow. you hope that it'll get reinstated that month or the next month. But again, you know, I wasn't allowed to see him for 9 months.
Man, how many times a day are you guys able to communicate with each other via telephone?
Yeah. So he calls me, the phones turn on at 9 o'clock. So he calls me every morning at nine. And then depending on the day, like he knows today I'm slammed with interviews. So I've talked to him twice and I'll probably talk to him around dinner time tonight. When I'm working, that's kind of hit and miss because I work day shift. So, and if I'm at work, I'm on a call, I obviously can't answer. So I would say on average, we probably talk 4 times a day and it's 15 minutes per shot. So, as long as he has money on his account, he can call me. But again, I can't call him. So when I found out Friday that the court ruled in our favor, I had to wait for him to call me to tell him the news.
What has he told you about life in prison as a police officer?
So he's in protective custody, which that sounds great, but it's not. I mean, it's not general population, but he's not safe. He should not be around certain people because of his status as a law enforcement officer or prior law enforcement officer. But they put catchouts in. Catchouts are people from general population, you know, just John Smith who committed robbery. If he has a hit on him, they allow him to come into protective custody so that he doesn't get killed in general population. Well, a lot of these catchouts use drugs, fight, have shivs on them, and they know that they're in a safer place, but they take advantage of it. Ben's been tried twice that I know of, that he's had to talk someone down. One time it was a guy who had a shiv on him, and Ben had to talk him down because he can't catch prison charge while he's in there because that's going to mess up his appeal. So about a month ago, he had a guy try to fight him and he was able to stop that. This past Friday, when we found out about the good news, a guard from general population came to his dorm, which obviously they're not connected. And he singled Ben out of a crowd and was like, "Hey, hero, come over here and talk to me." And so Ben walked over there and he said, "What do you want?" And the guy was like, "Are you Ben Darby?" Like, he didn't even know who he was. And Ben was like, "Yeah." And long story short, the guard was trying to get Ben into his cell where there's no cameras and get Ben to assault the guard. And Ben didn't fall for it. You know, he's like, "Hey,"
Why?
The guard was like, "Because Ben's got everything on the line right now. He shouldn't be in there in the first place. But now that the court's come back, everyone knows that he's leaving soon." And this guard tried to get him to go into Ben's cell to search it for illegal contraband. And the guard tried to get Ben to go in there by himself. And Ben was like, "No, I'm not going in there." Word got up to the warden and it was taken care of. But
wow,
people are out to get him. And he has not been safe since the moment he stepped in there.
Good Lord. And how's he dealing with that?
He takes it a day at a time. You know, it's not, he has to, before Friday, his sheet of paper said 25 years. So, I mean, he has a routine he does every day, you know, when he gets up and he makes sure that he gets a good workout in every day. He reads a lot while he's in there. They're supposed to have yard call every day. If it's granted to them, he always makes sure he goes outside. He has his little routine, but he doesn't make friends, you know, in there. His head is down and he's focused on coming home and not getting caught up in something inside the walls. So he's the strongest guy that I know. He was in solitary for 49 days.
God damn.
Before getting transferred to the facility that he's at now. I don't think I could have made it 49 days with no human interaction. During that 49 days, every fourth day, he was either allowed to take a 15-minute shower or call me. And he always called me and he would just figure out a shower from his sink inside of his dorm or inside of his cell. But there's things that I know that we'll never talk about because I don't want him to have to go through that again. But he should have never been subjected to any of it.
Hey guys, if you're enjoying the Street Cop podcast, do us a favor and give us a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. Tell a friend. We don't charge anything for the episodes. We appreciate your support. Check us out on any social platform by putting into the search bar Street Cop Training. Give us a follow. We have a lot of free content coming out every single day that you might not catch here on the podcast. And it's important for you to be able to do your job more professionally. And we also entertain you as well.
It's awful. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing.
Yeah. So we filed our appeal back in February of 2022. And during August 21 to February of 2022, I had started a website. I had started social media because during his, from the time that he was charged through his trial, the judge had issued a gag order because she didn't want anyone talking about the case because the city and the chief and the city council all said Ben Darby is not a murderer. And they actually said that at a press conference. And then the district attorney, Robert Broussard, gets up there and says, no, he is a murderer and he's a horrible person. And so the judge said, no one's allowed to talk about the case until this is done. So I couldn't go out and do what I've been doing for the last 19 months. Cause I can't go to prison trying to help him not go to prison, you know? So, I hit the ground running last April, with starting to get interviews and stuff. I had to wait until our appeal was officially filed to start doing interviews. But I got our social media up, we got a website up, and just trying to get the word out because no one knew about his case. We've had people come.
What are the social media? Let me just jump in here for a second. What are the social media handles and what are the websites?
Yeah. So all of our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter is at Stand With Darby. And then our website is standwithdarby.com. Very, very simple. People started getting word about what was going on and getting mad about it. From the very beginning, we had the Blue Justice Project, which is out of Pennsylvania. She used to be a police officer, was involved in a shooting, was charged and acquitted. She eventually retired and started her own nonprofit, she and her husband. They have been with us since the very beginning. They came down here a month after he was convicted, with a check and said, what can we do to help you? We've had the Pipe Hitter Foundation, pick us up back this past April. So almost a year ago. And for anyone who doesn't know what their background is, that's Eddie Gallagher, who used to be a Navy SEAL, and was wrongfully charged in a shooting that he was in overseas, put into pretrial confinement, and was later acquitted. But he was wrongfully put into prison, just like Ben was wrongfully put into prison. They've started their foundation to help first responders and military to fight against unethical charges, just like Ben's going through right now. And they've raised a lot of support for us, been able to get me on different shows, just to get the word out about Ben. Obviously, Mike Glover has been a big help to us. He got me on Andy Stump's show with Cleared Hot. That had a lot of fundraising come through. And then there's countless people on social media that have gotten me on their shows. I could name them all, but I'd be afraid I'd miss one. So just so many people have come behind and supported us. We got our appeal filed. We asked for oral arguments. And in August of 22, the court granted oral arguments and said, you'll have a hearing in November. So oral arguments, every time a case is appealed, it goes to the next court, which is for us was the state appellate court. And we asked for oral arguments, which would be a hearing to discuss the issues deeper with that court. In Alabama, only 2% of cases get oral arguments granted. And then 1% of those cases that get granted are heard publicly. And we got both. So November 10th of 2022, we had oral arguments and it was held in Birmingham. It was open to the public. We had about 100 people there to support Ben. And our lawyers argued two of the main points of the appeal that the judges wanted to hear. was the closure of the courtroom and then the improper jury instruction. We had 33 reasons why he needed a new trial, and those were the main two that they picked up. We did that November 10th and then waited until this past Friday, and the court came back and said it was wrong for Ben to not have been viewed as a police officer, which the jury was improperly instructed on, and they, all five judges, reversed and overturned his conviction. So we only needed three and we got all five. So it was a unanimous decision to reverse and remand it back to trial. So obviously
it's crazy for me. It's like, yeah, as you're saying this, I'm thinking like, and this judge and this DA has no culpability. They have no responsibility. They're not going to be charged for all getting all this wrong and wrecking this man's life. It is wild. But the good news is, thank God, there was an appeal process in place and you guys got a second chance to prove the innocence of your husband. It's fucking nuts, man. It's like, just, it's just wild.
Yeah. You know, everyone's like, you need to go after the DA and you need to go after the judge and all that stuff. My number one priority is getting Ben home and getting him shed of all this and us moving on with our life. We'll figure out the rest after that. But that's my number one priority right now, is to get Ben home and get him reintegrated into life as we knew it, which obviously our life is not ever going to be the same as it was pre-August of 2021. But we're going to start over and make it better, because that'll be shed of us and we can move on. I know this, and Ben realizes this. We're not out of the woods yet. We still have a lot of things that we have to do and many steps that have to be taken. Namely, like I believe I said this earlier, we're waiting on Steve Marshall, the Alabama Attorney General, to issue an opinion on what the judges decided. After speaking with our lawyers, we believe that he will agree with their decision, because it was a unanimous decision, in that all five judges reversed and remanded his case. It'll then go to the district attorney, Robert Broussard of Madison County, and he's already stated he's going to retry the case.
Wow.
I don't understand why. You know, I mean, by the time that Ben gets out, he'll have spent over 600 days in prison. Take that, and you know, that's your victory. Go pick on someone else. The courts have already said you didn't do this the right way. If he were looked at as a police officer, he wouldn't have been convicted. Let it go, you know. But it's, his case is very political, and you know, it's politics. I don't have any words.
Disgusting. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. What can we do to help?
Yeah. So us having a new trial is going to be a big expense. We've raised a lot of money so far, but a lot of that has gone towards getting us this far in the case. You know, I'm six figures into his appeal, and if we go through with a full another trial, it's probably going to be at least another 75 to 100 grand. So what I'm asking people to do is, if they want to help us in that battle, that they go to our website, and there's two different links that they can donate through the Pipe Hitter Foundation or through Fund the First. Or they can go to Pipe Hitter's website, pipehitterfoundation.org, and click on Ben's story, read a little bit about him, and donate through that. The second thing I'm asking people to do is go to our website and sign up for the newsletter that I put out once a month, because that can't get shut down where Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter can. If that were to happen and people want to know more about the case, they'll get a newsletter as I put it out with updates of what's going on. Also on our website, there's every piece of information that you would want to know about the case is on there. There are 33 reasons we asked for a new trial. The Attorney General's decision on a similar shooting back in 2018, where he said that he couldn't ethically charge that police officer because of case law, the same case law that we asked for, that the jury wasn't instructed on. The appeal brief is on our website. The court's decision from Friday is on our website if people want to read through that. And then ask for people to talk about Ben's case and get us more support, because there's more people now that know about his case than there were 19 months ago, but there's so many more people who still don't know. We have t-shirts that I got made, and I was traveling last month and I was wearing one of them, and a guy in the airport was like, "Who is this Officer Darby? Like, what's your shirt about?" And I, you know, used that opportunity to tell him who I was and who Ben was. And he was just flabbergasted and just in shock that they would convict a police officer for doing his job as he was trained. And the kicker, I didn't mention this earlier. I met with Alabama Post, so the training commission for police officers, and asked them, are we still teaching police officers to use force against an imminent threat when it's presented in front of them? And the president was like, yeah, we're still doing that. And I said, okay, so that's allowed. And he said, yeah, absolutely, that's allowed. And I said, then why is Ben in prison? Because you taught him how to deal with that. He does that, and now he's sitting in prison for doing it. Steve Marshall, our attorney general, has just been recently reelected, and he used his campaign platform that he supported law enforcement. 2 weeks after Ben was sentenced, he was in Huntsville at a police rally, and I went up to him after his speech of telling the crowd that we need to support our police officers, and people need to give us the respect for the job that we do. And people who go against the police need to be held accountable. And after he had said all that, I said, hey, Ben's case is coming to your desk. You just said you supported us, and I need you to prove it. Haven't heard a word from him. He hasn't said a word in the last 5 years about Ben's case. Why? And I don't know the answer to that. Now he has to say something by April 7th, because the ball's in his lap. You know, if he goes along with what the judges have decided, or if he disagrees, and then we have to go to the state Supreme Court. And that's a whole other can of worms if we have to go down that route.
So if you need him to sign off on this with the judge's decision in order to release Ben?
Yeah, we're waiting on the attorney general's decision for Ben to get released. So if people want to call his office and, you know, ask him, hey, what's your stance on Ben Darby? You know, you support law enforcement. Why is he still there? Call the district attorney. His name is Robert Broussard. Hey, why are you going after this cop? He was cleared by the department. You were in that investigation for the clearance. You signed off on it. Why did you charge him? Why are you going after him again? What is your deal? What is your deal with Ben Darby?
So the Alabama Attorney General, right? That's who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Phone number 334-242-7300. That's the public phone number. Again, 334-242-7300. I guess that's where we would call. And the website has more information on it. This is Steve Marshall, the Attorney General, correct?
Yes. Yeah, Steve Marshall.
So I'll be giving a call after this, and I would implore other people to do it as well.
And then Robert Broussard is the district attorney of Madison County. I don't have his phone number. I've got it. It's 256-532-3460. Area code 256-532-3460. And he's already stated as of Friday when the decision came out that he will re-prosecute him. I don't get it, because in 2019, Huntsville police officers responded to a suicidal subject who was popping rounds off out of her apartment complex, having a mental breakdown. Officers knocked on her door and took cover behind some oak trees. She came out with a gun in her waistband. They commanded her to keep her hands up and to not reach for the gun. She reached for the gun, never made contact with the weapon, and they smoked her. Justified shooting all day. She's going for a weapon. I don't have any issue with that. But how can you charge Ben Darby, a police officer who had a gun pointed in his direction, but you're not going to charge someone where the bad guy never had the gun in their hand? So I'm not asking for them to get charged. So I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying. What I'm asking is, how can someone who's having a gun pointed at them get charged with murder after that officer shoots them, but the officer who shoots someone who doesn't have a weapon in their hand, that's okay? That's Crystal Ragland, HPD in Crystal Ragland. It was May of 2019, if anyone wants to look into that.
I know a lot of people listening to this podcast with their blue line shirts on, their blue line stickers, or blue line hats, and try to put yourself in Officer Darby's shoes, in Keelan's shoes, and hoping that enough people would show up and help them to free this innocent police officer. Police officer, don't forget what I'm saying there. So you've been given phone numbers, websites, ability to support. I mean, even 10 bucks, guys. You know what I mean? It's less than eating at McDonald's now to help them support their cause. We have 500,000 subscribers. So I would suspect that we'd be able to help you quite a bit. And, you know, just pause the podcast. We'll take the number down again. And visit the website, do the donations, make the phone calls. And let's do our part. You know, so, I mean, I can guarantee you that I think I've donated this already, but I'm donating again. As soon as we get off this podcast, I'll do it right away. Yeah, no, you know, it just is what it is. My heart goes out. It's an awful, awful thing. And how do you still go to work as a cop?
Yeah, I've been asked that question multiple times. When the conviction came down, I was done. Obviously, it was an emotional decision because I just saw the Madison County judicial system fail in protecting a police officer. Granted, I don't work for Madison County. I work for an agency neighboring that jurisdiction. But I still believe in the job. I still believe that we need good police. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn by any means. But the people, obviously, there's a hiring crisis in police departments, and it's been like that for the last few years. The good cops that are still there, that's who America wants to come when you call 911. They don't want these new guys who are in it for the shiny badge and the gun and the status of, oh, well, I'm a police officer, so look what I can do. I still believe in the job, and that's why I do it still. I've had several people ask me, you know, how can you still do that? My guys, I'm a sergeant on day shift. I'm over 12 guys. And they're like, Sarge, how are you? How are you still here doing this? It's something I've thought about a lot, but I love the job that I do, and I don't see me doing anything else. And it's hard for people to understand, but that's where I'm at. And until that changes, you know, I'll stay at my department and serve my community in the fullest aspect that I can, and continue to show up to work every day. But that's not to say that it's easy. You know, it's not easy going to work sometimes. And I go through spells where, you know, every 6 months, I'm like, why am I even doing this anymore? You know, but then I go back to, well, why did I want to be an officer in the first place? And I think that is what is keeping me grounded in my career.
How far are you away from Nashville?
About 2 hours.
We have the conference coming up in 3 weeks. Would you accept a free booth from us to fundraise for your husband?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay. So I'm not, the booths are expensive and I don't want any thank yous for it, but I will give you my cell phone number. We'll get this set up, and I will promise you, just have to remind me during the event. We have over 1,500 men and women coming, and there are people. They're the street cops. They're the real deal. They're not, this is not some peacocking, who am I rubbing brass elbows event. This is A lot of brass there for sure. A lot of chiefs, deputy chiefs, captains, colonels. They're all going to be there, but they're the fucking, they're the true blue motherfuckers. And just remind me a few times when you're there that we will, so you're 2 hours away, that we will make sure that we remind everybody the importance of this and to donate. So we'll figure that stuff out, but
wow.
So it's April 23rd to the 28th. Yeah. Yeah. So come on Sunday and we'll set it up. You have the booth for the whole week. I'll actually reach out to our production people and make sure they add another booth in for you. And, you know, in your mind, you need help setting up of how it's going to look and what you want on screen. You know, maybe you want some literature out to draw some attention. I'll constantly redirect people over to your booth to make sure that you're getting, and I'll give you a couple free spots to the 2024 conference that you can raffle off. And I have raffle tickets for you. So I'll give you like a bunch of free tickets that you can raffle and to raise money.
Okay. Wow. Thank
you. On top of donations as well. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. That really means a lot.
Also, I imagine you have to stay there, correct?
Stay
in Nashville. You're not going to drive 2 hours back and forth every morning, correct?
No. I'll get a hotel and stay there. Yeah.
I'll have a room for you too.
Wow. Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That means a lot.
I'll set all that up for you.
Okay.
Because I kind of don't know how this thing kind of missed my radar, and I apologize because there's just so much going on with this company, and I had, not making excuses, but personal issues for quite a while. It was very, very, very difficult to deal with. Mm-hmm. I keep telling people, like, you know, I think people's kind of the cat's out of the bag a little bit, but there'll be a reveal eventually of what these things are that I'm talking about. Some of the people who listen to the podcast who are friends of mine are like, you know, what are you talking about when you talk about things like that? And I'm like, this, and they're like, oh shit, I didn't know. And I'm like, well, a lot of people don't. And believe me, I just want to apologize for not being more involved, and I'm going to try to make it up to you now because I find it deplorable. And how could I stand before everybody as this person who's in it for the righteous and correct reasons and ever not be able to do something for you with this ability to be able to do something for you? So the podcast is one thing, but I think we can do a decent fundraiser for you and get some money rolling. I mean, those tickets for the next event are $5.99 a piece. So I'll give you a bunch of them to give out and you can just auction them off and we'll call them off on stage. So I don't even worry about raffle tickets. I have all that shit. And you know, we'll figure out what you're going to charge for a shot at the conference for 2024, okay. But you'll get handed a bunch of them to auction off.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. I, you know, and to go back, giving me this time to come on your show, and tell our story is huge, you know, that in and of itself is something that we're very thankful for. And you, you know, publicly going out over and above that, to donate again and to give me this opportunity next month, and in 2024, that just, I'm really at a loss for words, and I just thank you. I mean, it really does mean a lot.
I'm going to say two things to that. One, people who know me are not surprised at this. So I don't do it for accolades and dabs and public appreciation or some kind of stunt to push myself forward. But I also do it, number two, for the reason to show people an example of kindness that's important to see. I donate a lot. I do a lot in the background of things. I spend a lot of time with a lot of organizations. I get thanked a lot in person, and I don't even know what I did. It's just how I live my life. And I just want to be very clear that you don't owe me anything at all. Don't feel like you do. Don't feel like the debt has to be repaid. It is my pleasure to do this. And just don't think that you even have to give me a thank you. I already know that you are appreciative of it. And that's all I need. So we'll set that up when we wrap this thing up. How about one last thought on what you want to say? And if you ever want to come back on again, I'll gladly have you.
Yeah. It's been a long road. Obviously, this has been going on since April of 18. So we're coming up on 5 years that our family has gone through the trial of a lifetime, that an officer could go through the trial of their career. And Ben was caught in the crosshairs of a political time in law enforcement. You know, 2018, things were shaky, and then 2020 comes around with George Floyd, and all cops are bad, and defund the police. But that's not Ben Darby. Ben Darby is a cop's cop. He's a police officer that Huntsville wanted on the streets. The night of the shooting, Ben was actually supposed to be at a award ceremony to someone had nominated him for a community officer of the quarter. I believe it was of the quarter, whatever the time period. And he couldn't go because he was being questioned about the incident. We're not out of the woods yet. We still have some steps that we have to take to go forward, but the path has been made clearer. And I'm excited to get him home and fight with him for this together in person and not an hour away over a recorded line where I can't talk to him freely. I can talk to him freely, obviously, in our house. And we're not done fighting. We will take this as far as it has to go. And we will fight this as long as we have to, even if that's to the United States Supreme Court. This conviction cannot stand. And the courts took care of that on Friday when they overturned his conviction and reversed it. So I don't have a whole lot of details, and I know I've gone into a little bit, but steps forward. People can just look at our social media, get on our newsletter on our website, and I'll be pushing stuff through that as soon as I find out more. But we're very excited with the news from the court and this renewed sense of hope for our future and in clearing my husband.
Sorry that you have to go through this. I really am. I think it's just horrible. And my heart really goes out to you. I really feel just so betrayed by these political assholes. And you don't have to comment on that because I know you probably shouldn't. But I'll do it for you. And I'm not lying to you. As soon as I get off one, I'll set you up with everything that you need to get set up for that week. And two, I will donate. And three, you will always have access to me if you need us to do anything for you. We don't have the biggest platform in the world, but it certainly isn't the smallest either. And I'm glad to get behind anything you guys need from us. And again, I'm sorry that we didn't get involved sooner. I don't know how it didn't make it onto my radar. I just don't know how.
There's no need to apologize. We've got you now. And, you know, honestly, that's what matters, is that we have your support, and you're going to stand with us until this gets righted. And
yeah, you're going to find I'm a man of my word. So and I don't pander. I don't care. I am a respectable person. I'm a non-criminal person, but I endure battles of my own as well. Even with the legal system, it's pretty wild. And all we're trying to do is help cops. And it's just these people are insane in these political positions, and it's terrifying. It really is, because for some odd reason, God did not grant them with the gift of common sense. And I have no idea where your soul goes to ruin another human being's life, or hundreds or thousands of lives. It's wild to me. I don't know where these people got wronged in life, that they don't have any compassion or empathy or understanding or respect for law enforcement. It's fucking wild, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the prosecutors, one of the main prosecutors against Ben is a former Huntsville police officer.
It's just wild to me, man.
That's a whole other story for another time. But
I got a funny feeling there's a nice reputation behind that fella. I just got a funny feeling that he wasn't a liked cop. Shocker. Just the type of guy that made sure if he pulled you over, you make sure you get your 10 tickets.
Yeah.
All right. So, and that means, I appreciate you so much. And you're getting added to my prayers. I haven't prayed in a while. I think we start fucking praying tonight. Start praying tonight. I'm just floored by the whole thing. I'm upset about it. Really am. And I don't know if you could tell that, but I actually am really upset about this bullshit, because maybe I can understand what it feels like to be Ben. You know, I'm not saying I've ever gone to prison, and I just can't imagine what it's like to have done nothing wrong and to be completely crucified. It's fucking awful. It's like a third world country shit. You know, it's in a first world. It's supposed to be the leading example for the world is the United States of America. And thank God for the appellate division. Hats off and credit to the appellate division attorneys. I'm sorry, lawyers, judges. Thank God that you guys saw things the clear way, and shame on the judge that, and shame on your district attorney. Shame on them. They're a disgrace. So.
Yeah. So. All right. We will definitely keep you updated for sure.
Appreciate you being here.
Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at StreetCop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher, so you get two for the price of one. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out StreetCop.com for that offer.